Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn in the Gospel of John. I said I could be really good Christian if I was the only one around. You know, dealing with each other sometimes is tough. Look at somebody and say, he must be talking about you this morning. Story goes about a fellow that wanted to buy a horse and wanted to be a good horse. And so he saw one in the advertised and went, and the man that sold him the horse said, you know, this horse is a Christian horse. And he only responds to Christian phrases. He says, as a matter of fact, you want the horse to get running, you've got to say, praise the Lord. That's how he'll start to move. And then when you want him to stop, he has to say, hallelujah. So he said, I got it, bought the horse, took it home. So the next day he saddled it up, got up on the horse and started to try to make it go, you know, kicked its side and did all the things you do with horses and wasn't moving. So he said, oh yeah, I've got to say praise the Lord. So he said, praise the Lord, and the horse took off. Good horse. It went through the trotting and through the other things and to a full gait, man. He's running. This guy's enjoying himself. He said, this is a healthy horse, nice horse. And he realized he's coming to the end of his property where there's a sheer drop-off. And he said, you know, I better back off and stop. So he pulled the reins. The horse kept going and going, and he's trying to stop. Finally, he remembers. It says, hallelujah, and the horse stops about 5 feet before the drop-off. So he's really happy. He takes his hat off and he goes, praise the Lord.
Oh, no!
We're talking this morning about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and you know, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is sometimes shortchanged.
Yes.
He's really shortchanged, and he's such a gentleman, he'll only do what our expectations are. He's such a gentleman that he'll only do what our expectations are. Many statements of faith that I've read from churches says the Holy Spirit reveals the Lord to us. And if that's all we want, that's all he'll do. The Holy Spirit has a role within our lives that nobody else can do. But he's such a gentleman, if we'll allow his power and his anointing. How many know God wants to do immense things through the church today?
Amen.
Reason why we are where we are is because we've not been effective. Before we go any further, I want to pray for John. Could some people gather around Holly? Holly took me this morning. John, fear now. Everybody know John? Come on, gather around Holly back here. Because he said he was really bummed this morning. He's so tired he couldn't be here. And but he wanted a touch from the Lord to be healed. So how many know God can heal long distance?
Hallelujah.
Okay, so would you just lay hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe for John this morning. We speak the power of God into his body. Lord, we thank you for healing him from head to toe. Touching him and healing him and bringing him back, oh Father, better than normal, Father. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ask or hope for, is the healing that you have for John Fearnow today. We pray for strength in Holly. We pray for both of them, Lord, that your power and your might might be in their home. God, that you might restore to them everything that the enemy has stolen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God. Look at that. Everybody laying hands on her. How many hands could we get on Holly? I should have counted. God working through everyone. And so, thank you so much for that. And I'll bet you John's feeling that right where he's at this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like to be without the Holy Ghost, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I just don't know. I've struggled my whole Christian life because I've ministered, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people that have walked with God many years, never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You might be one of those this morning that has not been baptized in, been immersed in, been empowered with the Holy Spirit. But I don't know about that. I got saved And 4 days later, I received the Holy Spirit. So I only had 4 days of lax time, and really can't really make any doctrine out of those 4 days. I just know I was hungry, and I wanted all that God had for me. So the people that I was attending, I got saved on Easter Sunday, and I had known some folks and met with the pastor, met with elders there at that church, and said, you know what, I'm hungry. And they said, well, have you heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, no, tell me about it. And so I went over to an elder's house, and he ministered the baptism to me, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and received a prayer language immediately, full prayer language. I mean, in the power of God, I prayed in the Spirit for an hour, and it just was flushing me out. And a lot of things that I should have had, I don't want to go too far into detail, but I had lots of flashbacks because I did things you weren't supposed to do, called drugs. And so I had lots of times where, if you've never had a flashback, how many have ever had a flashback in here? You know what I'm talking about. And they're not fun. And after that day, I didn't receive any backlash. No, I never wanted a drug again, and I had no flashbacks.
Hallelujah.
And the power of the Holy Ghost just filled me and cleansed me.
Hallelujah.
And so it's hard for me to imagine what it's like to try to walk this Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I realize that some people do, and sometimes it's because the Holy Spirit's been misrepresented. Just flat out been misrepresented. It's emotional. We've had weird people represent that segment. Some ultra Pentecostals or something that drive people away. And it's by design that happens, because the enemy doesn't want us to know what we have in the Holy Ghost. Enemy doesn't want us to know. See? And Jesus was able to tell his disciples, he said, you know what? I've done everything I could do. I'm getting ready to go to the Father, but I'm telling you, don't do anything until you're endued with power. Don't do anything. Go to Jerusalem and wait. And that's what they did. They waited on the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said several places. I'll just read. I know you're in John 14, but let me read in Matthew 3. John the Baptist was talking. He said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yeah.
Now he's talking to everybody at the time, and so we can all receive this as being God talking to you. Jesus is talking to you this morning.
Amen.
See, he promised you something that you may not have taken from him. The whole time that you've been walking with him, he's had this gift ready to give to you. All you have to do is ask. John said, there's one coming after me that is going to baptize you. And so his plan after salvation, first you got to be saved. First you got to be saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ. And after salvation, Jesus has another plan for you, to be baptized, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44, all the way back in the prophet Isaiah, says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. So this wasn't something that just was an idea when Jesus was born. Hey, I got an idea. Now that you're here, why don't you baptize people in the Holy Spirit? No, God promised from the beginning of time that we would have empowerment by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 says, John the Baptist talking, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And then Jesus himself said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then later on in Acts chapter 11, then I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is I that I could withstand God? So God's intent is to baptize every believer in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But sadly, it's been cut back so that just a few people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine if the whole church was baptized with the power of God? What we would be able to do. Now it's maybe 1 out of 5, 1 out of 6 in our nation. Come on, someone. And it's not to offend anybody. It's not to say, you know, this isn't for you. This is just for a few people. I mean, you've got to go to a charismatic or a Pentecostal church. That's nonsense. Yeah. This gift that Jesus has is for everyone.
Yeah.
And this gift is Him. Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit's not an article.
Right.
He's not a feeling.
Right.
He's not a buzz.
Right.
He's not laughing. He's not even goosebumps.
Right.
I know it's going to mess with your theology. The Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to do with goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's your reaction.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit is God. And He's to be worshipped and honored as God.
Amen.
And when God manifested Himself to Moses on the mountain, it was just Moses on the mountain in the burning bush. And then for a long time, everybody just had to take Moses' word for it. I saw Him on the mountain, and His name is I Am. The great I Am has sent me to release you. And then the people were given a chance when they got to the mountain to hear this great I Am.
Yeah.
And there was fire on the mountain.
Yeah.
They heard a few words from Him and they said, we don't want to hear Him anymore. You go up and talk to Him because we can't take it. The power of the Holy Spirit on that mountain. God speaking through the power of His Spirit. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And man able to hear that. And then you fast forward to Jesus. He was born in a manger, long ways away, born in a stable and laid in a manger, long ways away from any public scrutiny or public eye, quietly, and grew for 30 years and came out like a house on fire and set the world on fire. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was manifested, it created such a ruckus. It created such a ruckus when the Holy Spirit intertwined with mankind at that upper room. It changed forever the way people would look at the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, you'll be baptized not many days hence with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be my witnesses. But if we look, the law first mentioned in the Word of God is always, if you take the first time something is mentioned and pull a thread, it goes all the way through. When the Holy Spirit was introduced to the church, there was a rushing, mighty wind that came. It wasn't up on a mountain somewhere that quietly for one or two people. It wasn't in a manger with just shepherds and a star. It shook the city of Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. Everybody knew what was going on because the power of the Spirit came like a rushing, mighty wind. For centuries, the Holy Spirit of God has been part of the Trinity who has been misrepresented. There are those who never have been taught that there is power and wisdom available to them. They just simply say, you know, even 3/4 of the church in the United States says the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Holy Spirit, never been introduced to the Holy Spirit. It's just somebody that, the third guy, that whoever he is. They gladly receive salvation, but they're walking through life unaware of the power that is available to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. You may be one of them. This morning you say, well, I know there's a Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but I've never experienced His power. And I'm here to tell you, you can.
Amen.
There are those who believe all that God has is revealed at salvation. They never move beyond a basic relationship with the Lord and struggle with commitment. They struggle with prayer. They struggle with old habits because they don't know the power of the Holy Spirit who's able to deliver you. So it's the Holy Spirit that I want to talk about this morning. It's Holy Spirit God. It's Holy Spirit the Lord of our lives. And we all talk about the Father. We worship Him passionately and respect Him purely. He's all powerful and yet has condescended to us and lives in us. His discipline and guidance bring righteousness and blessing to us. He's a perfect being with no beginning or end. And has welcomed us into relationship. We all understand that God's throne is open to us. Now we talk about Jesus. He's the eternal God who loved us enough that He died on the cross for us. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So that we might have a relationship with Him. He's our great Redeemer,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
He is the head of the church.
Yes.
We have pledged our lives to follow Him and live for Him. Nobody that's prayed very long can deny that Jesus is all powerful. He's all present. He's coming one day on a white steed with a sword coming out of His mouth and the fire of God coming out. King of kings and Lord of lords. Everybody loves the champion Lion of Judah. Lamb of God. He's the one that intercedes for us, standing before the throne, takes the plans of the Father and makes them a reality in our lives. Jesus. We put Him on the back of our cars. We put Him on our shirts. Jesus. We name the name of Jesus. Powerful. But the power of the Holy Spirit is sometimes relegated to sideshows. Oh, that was back then. That was over there. That was then. No, the power of the Holy Spirit is now. See, God sent the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact, did not do anything. Had the power of Jesus, had the thing and the burning bush and all of that is history. But He said, you had all that, you've seen all this, now I've risen from the dead, now I've broke the grave, now I'm standing before you, I'm getting ready to go to heaven, but I don't want you to move until I send you the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Woo! Talking to Holly this morning, Holly reminded me that He breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And so they received the Holy Spirit, but they were yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is with one who has been sent by the Father to take the place of Jesus in everything that He began while He was here physically. The Holy Spirit comes and has such an important role in the church today that He reminds us of everything that Jesus said. That's His role. He reminds us. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's the Holy Spirit who's front and center, that's representing the Godhead right here. He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in me. I dare say the church would not exist without the power of the Holy Ghost. So He's the third part of the Trinity that we love, that we honor, that we serve, and that empowers us. When God was introduced to mankind, it was through the burning bush. When Jesus was introduced, it was through the angels. When the Holy Spirit was introduced, He came as a rushing, mighty wind. And He changed those disciples. Those guys that were hiding in an upper room now went out to the center court of the temple and began to preach. Those guys were saying, I wonder what is going to happen to us to dictating to the people what would happen to them.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen to us. This is that which the prophet Joel went from questions to having the answers.
Amen.
See, and we absolutely need the answers in our life today. If you've not felt pressure yet, you will. We're swiftly escalating to a point where we're going to have to make a stand for our faith. We absolutely need the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you. I'm telling you today. Our statement of faith, if you've not read our statement of faith, you might ought to. So our statement of faith says that the Holy Spirit indwells those who receive Christ for the purpose of enabling them to live righteous and holy lives. And it says, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an endowment of power for those who receive Christ for the work of Christian ministry and service. We recognize that speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance is one of the outward manifestations of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So new life is decidedly, dare I say, Pentecostal in nature and charismatic in output.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Whatever that means. That sounds really neat. I like that. That's why I said it. It makes me seem smarter than I am. Kind of works, doesn't it? You know, those $64 words we say once in a while to impress others. Suffice it to say that we believe the power of the Holy Spirit takes center stage in our lives. It's not wrong to honor the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong to worship the Holy Spirit because He is God.
Amen.
Jesus on the bumper sticker, God in our hearts. Come on. The Holy Spirit. So you're in John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Hallelujah.
Now, there's a lot of eyes in there. And I appreciate when you pray for me, and I pray for you. That's neat. I love praying. Listen, but when Jesus prays, I know it's going to get answered. Come on, somebody. Jesus doesn't throw it up there and maybe get a no. Just say, I'm praying for Rick, Father, and I'm not sure if you... No, when He prays, things happen.
Yeah.
What's John 14, 16 says? He says, and I will pray the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's praying for you today.
Hallelujah.
It's not somebody praying for you. When we go to pray for you today for the baptism in the Spirit, if you've not received it, if you need a refilling, it's not us praying. It's Jesus praying the Father. Man, give them the power, God. Give them the power, Father. They need the power. They need the Holy Ghost. They need the Holy Spirit to take residence in their heart again as a president, not just as a guest. The Holy Spirit is more than a guest.
That's right.
Holy Spirit is fire. The Holy Spirit is power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Just like that. Praise God. See, the great plan was to send the Holy Spirit to guide and empower the church and to dwell in each individual, carry that plan out. Consider these verses that you read in verse 21 and verse 23 of that same chapter. Verse 21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So Jesus says, if you love me and keep my commandments, I'm going to come to you and manifest myself to you. Then he goes on to say in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now when he says we, he's just not saying the Father and the Son. He can't say we without saying the Holy Spirit. We see plainly the role of the Holy Spirit in the following, keeping the same subject. The subject is, verse 21 and verse 23, Jesus says, we'll come to you and make our home with you. Watch in verse 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things.
Amen.
Underline all things.
Yeah.
And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So this manifestation of the Spirit that we're waiting for, that we may have heard about, that we struggle with things in our lives, we say, God, I need to know, am I all right? I need. You may be even asking from time to time, are you sure that I'm saved? Let me tell you, the minute that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've never questioned my salvation from that point on. I didn't for the first 4 days because I was too high on God. Then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I had assurance.
Hallelujah.
That God would never leave or forsake me. And I've never questioned that. I've never ever once came to God and said, am I saved? God, are you sure? God, have I lost something in you? So I don't know what it's like to struggle. I really don't know what it's like. I don't have any persons like the... It's like the priest that counsels for marriage. I never did quite get that. Priest that's never been married, counseling for marriage. You know what I'm saying? You know, everything you say is theory. I just want to tell you that. Anybody else ever think about that? And so I'm like that guy. I don't know what it's like to walk through, but I pray for you all the time and I struggle with you because I see some people trying to struggle through, especially our young people, because our young people, by osmosis, receive the Holy Spirit. You kind of hear, you may be here today and you may hear somebody praying in another language or they're crying out to God and they're all emotional. You're going, what's that all about? I'm telling you, it's the power of God.
Amen.
It's the power of God moving through you that you can have. Jesus has got the gift, and it's like a gift that's never been opened. He's still holding. He's patient. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It will never force Himself on you, but He's ready to empower you just like everyone else. And we can't go any further in God. I believe we can't affect what we need to affect in our community if we're just going to go on two-third power. Come on, somebody. Now, most of you have never, ever had to drive a car with no power steering. Power steering's been around since the 60s. It used to be a thing that you could get in a car. You could actually order a brand new car. You could get power steering or not get power steering. It was cheaper if you didn't get power steering. How many older folks remember that? Man, you got out to drive that car and it was sitting still and you were trying to get out of a tight spot. It seemed like you were turning that wheel forever to get the tires just out so you can get by. And if you had to stop and back up, you had to go the other way. It's like two hands and 2 feet sometimes. I mean, my dad had an old Ford Galaxy with no power steering in. That thing was a huge boat. I remember trying to pull it. This way and that way, and especially when you're dressed in a suit. I took it to my junior prom and picked up my girlfriend in it, and was a ball of sweat by the time I got there. Because that wheel was this huge. I mean, you remember when the wheels were that big? Man, you're just, you know, and the dirt that was on the wheel that I didn't get's all over my hands because I'm sweaty. And now we get out in our car and we just go, with our finger. That right there is the difference between struggling without the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do. You may get the same place I'm going, but you're going to be sweaty and dirty by the time you get there. You're going to be sweaty. It's going to be tough. And God never meant it to be, and He's such a gentleman. He'll allow you to be sweaty and dirty and frustrated because He loves you.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. If He wants to baptize me in the Holy Ghost, no. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall. God wants us to involve ourselves in that process. Even though Jesus has a gift, we need to ask Him for it. Come on, somebody. It's power that God wants to give us. It's power over all the power of the enemy. It's power over all the power of sin. It's power over all the power of discouragement. It's the power to be able to see the end and know that God is going to be victorious and not struggling with all that stuff and trying to get in tight spots and out of tight spots with great big effort. God says, no, I've sent the Holy Spirit that you might know the things that I have to say to you, that you might remember the things that I have to say to you, that you might be empowered, that your very shadow would heal people. Do you think God just wanted to do that with Peter? Going to have Peter be one of the greatest guys in the world, and when he dies, that's it. I mean, he was the only one that could get what we had to give him. A ton of the church believes that. When the disciples died, the Holy Spirit took a hiatus. The Holy Spirit's on vacation. No, same Holy Spirit that empowered the disciples. My Bible says, I am God, I change not. God the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. He doesn't change. He empowers. He strengthens. You say, well, you know, I don't know about all that shadow healing and all of that. Okay, that's all right. More personally in your life, what are you lacking in your life? Like I said, I don't know. I can't fathom it. I've counseled, I've talked. People have said, you know, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that. And I'm saying, I'm trying to get it. I'm not trying to be dumb about it, but I don't get it personally because God has always empowered me and allowed me to overcome those things by the power of His Holy Spirit. So I don't know what that's like. And I don't know about you, but when I pray for somebody who received Jesus as Lord. If I have a chance, I'm going to minister the baptism in the Spirit to them immediately.
Yes.
Not all the time but the next time I see them, if I see them and invite them to church, next time they come to church, I'm going to say, listen, you need the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Turn over to John 16:7. Jesus is laying it out for us. He says in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Underline Helper, Paraclete, one who is exactly like me. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, and then on and on. But what he says is he will convict, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. How many times have we had argument with ourselves or someone else about what we can get away with? I've had conversations lots with people. Is it okay to drink or is it okay to... The Bible doesn't say I can't drink. There's nothing in that Bible that says I can't do this. Well, that's true, but what's the Holy Spirit saying? What's the Holy Spirit saying? Because if it covered every incident that ever happened, the Bible would be... We wouldn't be carrying that, that's for sure. Come on, somebody. Turn your Bibles to Acts 19. We're going to be reading through the book of Acts this month. Starting tomorrow, you got your Bible reading plan, so by the 30th, we'll have gotten through the book of Acts. And you want to spend some time in it, please. It's one chapter a day, a couple times you'll have to read a couple chapters, but I encourage you to spend some time in it and see what the power of the Holy Spirit did for the first church.
Yeah.
Power of the Holy Spirit did some awesome things. Holy Spirit did some awesome things. Of course, there was some of that persecution that happened. That will never happen. Nah, don't worry about it. We're not going to be persecuted. We're just going to sail right into glory. When the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to just make everybody happy and we'll have a party and Jesus come and get us out of here. I don't think so. Right now, there's many of our brothers and sisters that are suffering this moment right now for the gospel. I got an email from somebody that said ISIS attacked a village in one of the Middle East countries and killed all the young people. Slayed all the young people. Christians. So yeah, persecution will come. How many know we need the Holy Spirit to get us through that too?
Amen.
Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, underlined disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. They had two-thirds. They had the whole thing, they just didn't know it. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. He said, man, we want that.
Yeah.
See, when you get baptized in water, how many know when you get baptized in water, you get wet? That's revelation right there.
Yeah.
You get baptized in water, you get wet. You get soaked from the head to the toe. There's no part of you that doesn't get wet. And you get baptized from the outside. It's an outward sign of an inward change. But you get immersed in water. Now, when I was a kid, we got sprinkled, you know. And they said, you know, I never saw a dead person sprinkled with dirt and left to lay above the ground. You don't sprinkle a dead body with dirt and let them lay there. Okay, you're buried. No, you put them 6 feet under and put a nice little... When you're baptized in water, you're immersed. It's the outward sign of an inward change. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're baptized from the inside out.
Yeah.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit is being immersed, body, soul, and spirit, in that same thing. The same thing that happened to you in water baptism from the outside in needs to happen from the inside out now. The Holy Spirit needs to come out of you and go from being just a guest in your home and in your heart, just a resident in your heart, to present in your heart. And the change is like night and day. Now, this is theory for me. Admittedly, it's just theory. I'm just talking what other people have told me that have been saved a long time. But you go from struggling with reading the Scriptures and struggling from hearing the Word of God and struggling from doing this. And it's a struggle. It's like that car without the power steering, and all of a sudden the baptism of the Spirit comes. All of a sudden you're convicted. You don't do the things you want, you couldn't do before or wouldn't do before. You put aside those things. You wanted purity in your life. The Scriptures open up to you. All of a sudden you're just so hungry for the Word. Nobody has to tell you to read the Bible. They have to tell you to stop reading the Bible. Would you stop reading the Bible and do something else? When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it becomes your strength and your power. And you begin to hear from God, and you begin to hear from the Spirit of God. And He says, go over and pray for that person, or go talk to that person. Now stop what you're doing and pray.
Hallelujah.
And you start hearing God like you never heard Him before. Of course, that's what they tell me now. I don't know. I just always had that relationship with God, the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to be better. I'm not better than anybody. It's just that I don't have the experience of that. But I can tell you, if you're struggling with the no power steering Christianity that you have, I'm here to tell you, there's power steering for you. And it doesn't cost anymore. It's not an add-on. My wife had a different experience, and I asked her to share a little bit about her experience this morning, about her
With me, you know, Rick and I got saved 10 days apart, so all of this we were going through together. Whenever he got saved, it was a marked change that happened in our household. We had a newborn baby. Sarah was just days old by the time I got saved, and whenever I saw what had actually, Rick got baptized in the Holy Spirit the night that I went into labor. He, his friend went with him over to another friend's house, and he was filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. He came home, and I saw such a marked difference in his life, and I knew that that was what I needed in my life, and that's what actually drew me to ask Jesus to be my Savior. It was not more than about a week later, after I got saved, that I went forward and asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With Rick, it was like, have you ever had like a 2-liter bottle that you shake up of soda, and you open it up and it goes out? With me, it was different. You know, it was no less the Holy Spirit. But my cap was, have you ever like very slowly turned it and you get, and it releases it slowly. And that's what happened with me. Whenever I went forward and asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life, it was no less a manifestation. It was just a different manifestation. And for me, whenever it talks, let me just read one scripture real quick. We're reading in John 14, and it says, I'm just going to back up a little bit to what Rick had said. It says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, this is John 14, 22, and then 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I'm going to stop there for a minute because that's what happened to me. All of a sudden, whenever I asked the Holy Spirit to come into my heart, it was like a door had opened. And I said, Lord, I want all of you. Everything that you have for me, I want all of you. And the Holy Spirit was part of that that came in. As I open that door and allow the Lord to fill me and to change me. And then this is what happened. In verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's what I got. I got the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and with that came such an overwhelming peace that in the midst of this turmoil in our lives, as we are suddenly, all of a sudden, experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, there was such peace in my life to know that God was in full control, and that whenever I trusted in Him, if I could fully trust in Him, all manner of things would happen. So just as just as I said with Rick, the cap came off, it spurted out. With me, the cap was twisted very slowly, and just as well, it all came out, and it made room for the Holy Spirit to move in my life. So sometimes there are different manifestations.
Amen. That was good stuff when she got baptized in the Holy Ghost, too. We were all on the same page.
Yeah.
We did it about 10 days apart, so I don't know what it's like to live with an unbeliever for very long. 10 days was a very long time. Glory to God. So the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus didn't pull any punches. He said you receive dunamis. That's an explosion. How many know? If you just lay a stick of dynamite on top of a dirt pile, it'll blow up and things will fly around a little bit. But if you bury that puppy underneath the dirt pile and light it, what happens? The whole thing. You can't get a stump out of the ground by laying a stick of dynamite on top of the stump. But you dig a little hole underneath and stick that puppy under there and run long enough line from it, light it, the fuse, what happens? Stump goes flying. The Holy Spirit in you wants to get rid of all that stuff that you've been fighting.
Amen.
All that stuff that you say, you know, this Christian life is a struggle, man. I can't get, you know, I just can't get past the ABCs of Christianity. I can't get beyond. I can't have devotions. I can't have devotion with my family. I can't pray with my children. I can't. It's a struggle with me to live a godly life. I get tempted to look at things I shouldn't be looking, spend times I shouldn't be spending time in. And the Holy Spirit's just sitting there, tapping His foot and waiting patiently and saying, if you'll just ask me, if you'll just ask me, I'm ready to flood you. Verse 12 of John 16 to close. John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, Jesus said, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. See, that's the promise of the Holy Ghost. He'll guide you into all truth. Now, I don't know what it's, as I said, I don't know what it's like, but whenever I ask God into my heart and ask the Holy Spirit to come and baptize me, all of a sudden, I understood what truth was. And it was only by the power of the Spirit. There are things that people struggled with that I didn't struggle with, and I couldn't put two and two together. Thank God He put me in a full gospel church. Because then it started to make sense. But I saw people that said that they were full gospel, but they sure didn't act like it. Because it's more than just signing on the dotted line and being a member of a full gospel church. He'll guide you in all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Now, one of the things that we don't, it's divine ignorance. One of the things we don't want as people sometimes is for people to know our business. There are things that you can talk about and know about me, but I don't want you to know my business. My private life, thank you very much. And I don't want you to know. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. Or the reason why you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit is you don't want God to know. You don't want that power. Because then the Holy Spirit will remind you in times where you don't want reminded. The Holy Spirit's no longer in the foyer. He's in your living room. He's in your kitchen of your heart. He's in the bedroom of your heart. He's everywhere. He's the power in you. Amen. And all of a sudden He says, wait, you can't do that. Remember what Jesus said? Because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said? You can't do that. And sometimes divine ignorance says, I don't want the power of the Holy Spirit, because if I have the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll have to listen to all that stuff. I don't know if I want to. Goes on to say, and He will tell you things to come. How many are with me that you kind of get a feeling that something's about to happen? I mean, just in your personal life, you have a feeling like you spend an extra 10 minutes in prayer, or God has you turn to a scripture because you know something's coming. You don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you, you better be strong because something's coming. Anybody ever had that experience? Well, you know it's going to be a tough day or a tough moment or a tough... The Holy Spirit's getting you ready. You say, well, I'm never... I'm telling you, that's the giftings and the promptings that the Holy Spirit has. He's so much more than tongues. So much more than tongues. Although tongues is a wonderful thing. Praying in tongues is a wonderful thing because it's prayer language privately between you and the Father. Nobody knows what you're saying. Maybe not even you. And it's okay because the Holy Spirit is praying. What a design He has. Yeah. Jesus praying before the Father for me and the Holy Spirit praying through me. Yeah. And they're all agreeing and my life is being changed. Yeah. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Hallelujah. And I come out of that prayer time, I feel stronger. I don't know what happened. But it's none of my business. He's taking the Holy Ghost screwdriver and the hammer and the chisel and something's changed in me.
Yeah.
It's not seven steps and an amen. Seven steps to freedom, and you read them and you don't get any better. That's because you're trying to do it in your own power. You're back in the car with no power steering. You're trying to get there. And it's admirable. Thank God. I want to applaud you. It's admirable. You want to do the right thing. You say, God, I know if I just struggle more and build up more sweat, I'll get there, God. And when I get there, there'll be a reward. And God says, I already did it in you. If you'll just believe me. He will tell you things to come. In verse 14, He will glorify me. Now, God cannot be glorified if you're in sin. Come on, somebody. God cannot be glorified if you're in sin. And if you're comfortable in sin, if you're comfortable with doing things you know you're not ought to be doing, and you're comfortable in that place, you're ignoring the third part of the Trinity. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and you've not partaken of that, you've not spoken your prayer language, or you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to you and tell you things to come and declare to you things of the Lord, if you've not allowed that, you are shortchanging yourself and you're shortchanging God, and there's not going to be the relationship that He wants you to have. He says He will glorify me. God cannot be glorified in an atmosphere of sin and compromise. That's not glorifying to God. Come on, somebody. And here's what it is. I'll just get plain as day. I mean, you're driving down the road and you've got K-Love on. Man, and the songs are, you know, oh, we praise you, Lord, hallelujah. And you're singing along and the music's loud and you're, you know, you got your sticker there and the Bible on the passenger seat and you're driving along and all of a sudden you see a beautiful woman over to the side and you start thinking, man, she'd be nice to have. Come on, guys. Do you think at all that it makes any difference that music's playing on your radio? Do you think it means any difference that you got a bumper sticker and a Bible in your seat? And the Holy Spirit's saying to you, I don't want you to do that anymore. without the baptism, he's screaming because you haven't accepted his power. So, hey, I don't want you to do that anymore. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a whisper. Hey, psst, don't do that. And right away you look away. And you begin to remember. It doesn't have anything to do with K-Lov. It has to do with the power of the Spirit in you.
Amen.
He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has sent me in mind, therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare to you. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, you may have seen this before, but when we're saved, God fills us. You get the power of, you get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They come. They don't come piecemeal. All three are now in your life. But when you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what happens is the Holy Spirit goes from resident to president. He makes an impact in your life. And what's going to happen? Immediately the Holy Spirit starts to say, okay, now that I'm here, now that you made me king of your heart, now that you've made me, now that you're baptized in the whole, in me, now that you're baptized in me, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can do this, I want you to embrace that. Here's what I wanted to show you before, but I was too far away for you. Now I'm close, now I want to speak to you. And then if you'll do it, because everybody that's baptized in the Holy Spirit has a private prayer language. I'm not talking about shouting in a Pentecostal meeting. I'm talking about getting on your knees in your prayer closet and praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in that prayer language. And it may sound like baby language at first, but just by faith, just begin to pray. Holy Spirit praying through you. And God begins to move your heart and things begin to change in your life.
Amen.
Your marriage is patched up.
Yeah.
You like your job again. You start hearing God in the whisper. That's available for you today.
Amen.
What I want the elders to come up. Please, the elders and their wives, come up. And I know Danny's going to play, but elders, come. My wife and I are here. And what's going to happen is, and I want just a few people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit today and your relationship is, and this is an honor code. If your relationship with God is good and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up and line up facing the congregation. Elders in the center and people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit on the sides. Please. Praise God. You're in good standing with God. I'm not talking about your secret sins. You're in good standing with God. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, now those of you who are sitting out here, this is an invitation. Nobody's picking on you. If it's nobody's forcing you. But if you want the power of God today, if you want what the Holy Spirit is willing to give you, Jesus is God as a gift for you, I want you to come up and stand in front of one of these people. If the elders, if you've got some things you need to pray about before, the elders are here to pray with you. If you just want to receive the baptism of the Spirit, I want you to come up and stand in front of these people now. Come on, let's move. Come on. You want the baptism in the Spirit? Come. You say, I want the power of God in my life. I want you to come. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Just come.